Welcome to the deep dive. This is where we take different sources, sometimes quite a few, sometimes, well, just one, and we really dig in to find the key insights for you. Today, we're doing something a bit different, maybe even a challenge.
Okay.
Our entire source material, it's just the title, seriously, The Growing Appeal of Walkable Neighborhoods in Smaller Cities.
Yes, the title. Interesting. From excerpts from Walkable Neighborhoods in Smaller Cities.
Exactly. Correct? So our mission today is to see how much we can unpack from just those, what, eight words?
Eight words, yeah.
How can that short phrase tell us something meaningful about, you know, urban trends, changing lifestyles, all of that?
It's surprising how much can be encoded in a title.
Right. Okay, let's unpack this. So first part, the growing appeal. Not just appeal, but growing.
Yeah, the dynamic part.
Exactly. What does that signal to you right off the bat? Is this something totally new, or is it more like something's been bubbling under the surface and is now accelerating? And maybe more critically, what might be pushing this now? What's changing in society?
Well, what's fascinating here is that word growing. It points to a shift, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. A change in momentum.
Yeah.
It suggests that what a significant number of people value in where they live mm-hmm. is.
Well, it's evolving. I think we're seeing several factors converge. Yeah. Well, the big one is probably the shift towards remote and hybrid work, especially after the, you know, the pandemic really shook things up.
Okay. Less need for the daily grind into the city center.
Precisely. That frees people up. They can start prioritizing lifestyle, community, maybe affordability over just being close to a central office hub.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, I think, a generational thing, too. Millennials, Gen Z, they often seem to put a higher value on community connection, sustainability, having amenities nearby.
Right. Not just the big house in the suburbs miles from anything.
Exactly. Maybe they're a bit tired of the high costs and intense competition of the megacities.
Yeah.
Or just rejecting that kind of isolated, car-dependent lifestyle. That makes sense. It feels like a reaction, almost. So, okay, that's the growing appeal. Let's nail down the core idea, walkable neighborhoods.
Right.
We kind of know it when we see it, but what does it really mean conceptually? What are the key ingredients beyond just, you know, having a pavement to walk on? What's the design philosophy?
Yeah, it's definitely more than just sidewalks. Okay. We connect this to the bigger picture. Walkable neighborhoods fundamentally push back against decades of car-centric planning.
Okay.
The core idea is creating places where you can actually meet a good chunk of your daily needs. Groceries, coffee, maybe a park, school within a comfortable walk. Think like a 15 or 20 minute radius.
Mm-hmm. So that implies certain things about how the place is built.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It implies things like mixed-use zoning, you know, where you have homes, shops, maybe some small offices or cafes, all integrated together, not separated into rigid zones.
Right, not just miles of houses, then miles of strip mall.
Exactly. And it implies things like street design that prioritizes people, not just cars. Maybe narrower streets, wider sidewalks, benches, trees.
Active ground floors, like shops with windows and entrances on the street.
Yes, active frontages.
Mm.
And good public spaces, plazas, small parks, places that encourage you to linger, maybe bump into neighbors. It fosters human scale interaction. It's a move away from those anonymous, disconnected subdivisions.
Yeah, you can really picture the difference. Much more alive, maybe.
Integrated, certainly.
Okay, so those benefits, the human scale, the convenience, the community feel, that brings us to the last part. In smaller cities, why the focus there?
This raises an important question.
Why highlight smaller cities? Do they offer something unique for walkability compared to, say, New York or London? What's the advantage? And who's moving that for this?
That qualifier, smaller cities, is really key, I think. It's about scale and maybe opportunity. While walkability is good anywhere in smaller cities, it often feels more achievable.
Achievable how?
Well, think about it. Many smaller cities already have historic downtown cores that are, you know, relatively compact. They're at a scale where revitalization efforts can make a huge difference to the whole city's feel.
Right. You're not trying to retrofit a massive sprawling metropolis.
Exactly. Or if they're building new areas, they can design them for walkability from the ground up without fighting against quite so much existing car-focused infrastructure. The distances are just more manageable. Mm-hmm. Walkability can realistically become the main way people get around for daily errands, which is much harder in a giant city.
Interesting. So it has a bigger impact, potentially.
More profound impact on the overall quality of life, potentially, yes. And who's attracted? We're seeing young families looking for that slower pace, maybe safer streets, a stronger sense of community, but also digital nomads, entrepreneurs, people who can work from anywhere and are choosing a place with lower costs but still retaining some urban amenities and that connected lifestyle.
So it's kind of reversing the old brain drain idea. People are choosing to go to smaller cities.
It suggests a reevaluation, definitely. A shift in where people believe they can find genuine quality of life, not just the biggest paycheck.
Okay, wow. So we've got the growing appeal driven by lifestyle shifts and remote work.
Mm-hmm. We've got walkable neighborhoods as a design philosophy focused on human scale and access.
Yes.
And we've got the specific context of smaller cities mm-hmm. where this concept might be more achievable and impactful.
Right.
So let's synthesize. Bring it all together. What does this whole title really signify? What's the big takeaway about how we're thinking about our communities and maybe our lives?
I think the fact that this title even exists, that we're focusing on the growing appeal of walkable neighborhoods in smaller cities, tells us something pretty significant.
Which is?
It signals a cultural shift, maybe even a redefinition of the good life. It shows that the allure isn't only about the biggest, fastest, most economically dominant megacities anymore.
Okay.
There's a growing number of people actively seeking a different blend. The convenience of urban life, yes, but combined with genuine community, a slower pace, maybe more sustainability.
And finding it in smaller places. And they're finding that sweet spot, or at least searching for it, in these smaller urban centers. So it's more than just walking. It's really about a fundamental reprioritization.
Mm.
Moving away, perhaps, from just careerism or hyper-competition towards values like connection, belonging, human scale.
Yeah.
Finding places where you feel you can actually make a tangible difference. It feels like a quiet kind of revolution in how we're choosing to live.
A quiet revolution. I like that. So there it is. From just those 8 words in a title,
mm-hmm.
we've really unpacked quite a lot, haven't we? A pretty profound shift in what people want and where they're looking for it.
It really shows how much meaning can be packed into careful phrasing.
Absolutely. It's clear this isn't just a niche interest. It reflects some deep changes.
Mm-hmm.
So thinking about all this, the growing appeal, walkability, smaller cities. Here's something for you to consider. What could this mean for the future, for how communities outside the major hubs develop?
Yeah, what are the ripple effects?
Right. And personally, how might you look at your own neighborhood or town or city differently now? What aspects jump out knowing this trend is underway? Something to mull over.
Definitely food for thought.
We hope this deep dive sparked some new connections for you. Keep observing, keep questioning. Until next time, stay curious.